Our text is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. These words, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge. So our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this morning we are going to talk about the benefit of knowledge. The benefit of knowing as much about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we possibly can. But we begin not with Jesus, nor with the Apostle Paul, whose first letter to the Corinthians is the source of our text, but we begin with a king, an Old Testament king, by the name of Rehoboam. Now, we read about King Rehoboam in 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles, and it's there in those books of the Old Testament that we learn that King Rehoboam was the son of King Solomon and the grandson of King David. As you remember, it was King David who God used to bring together the 12 tribes of Israel and form them into a strong kingdom. And God did that after the death of the very first king of Israel, King Saul. King David, by the grace of God, had worked to strengthen and expand the kingdom of Israel. And under David's son Solomon, the nation of Israel reached its zenith in power and might and worldly reputation. All was good when King Rehoboam, Solomon's son, succeeded him to the throne. But almost immediately, Rehoboam followed bad advice, and he immediately alienated most of the nation, the kingdom, the northern 10 tribes, and they rebelled. And those 10 northern tribes formed their own kingdom, and they chose their own king, King Jeroboam. Now, King Jeroboam, with the goal of stopping the people of this newfound kingdom from going south into the old kingdom, going up to Jerusalem three times a year to the temple, King Jeroboam built two temples of his own. And in those two temples, he put golden calves. The temples, one in Bethel, one in Dan, both had golden calves within them. So the situation: King Jeroboam, king of the northern 10 tribes of Israel, worshiping golden calves in Bethel and Dan. And King Rehoboam in Jerusalem, king of the only southern two tribes, they worshiping the true, the living, the only God in Jerusalem. So quickly had the glory of Israel been shattered. After only three kings, Saul, David, and Solomon, the kingdom of Israel had split into two kingdoms. Well, fast forward a couple of hundred years, and those 10 northern tribes who had rebelled were on the brink of destruction. The Assyrians were set to invade and carry them off into slavery, and so it's at that time that God sent to them, to those northern 10 tribes, the prophet Hosea. And the prophet Hosea had something to say to them from God. What was the problem? My people, the Holy Spirit proclaimed through the prophet Hosea, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge. This is God speaking. God speaking to those 10 northern tribes. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests before me. Because you've forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. That's tough to hear, isn't it? It's tough to hear that knowledge, knowing something, actually was important, actually was the key to the demise of the 10 tribes. Well, Pastor, that doesn't seem right. Doesn't seem right, we might think at this point. For what does faith in God have to do with knowledge? As one mother of a confirmand wrote years ago, now on my vicarage in Iowa back in 1990, a mother frustrated with confirmation instruction, with lessons to complete and memorization to accomplish. "We're Christians because of what we believe," she wrote, "not because of what we know." Now, the point has stuck with me for 30 years. Point that apparently Christian faith is really just intuitive. It's created within us by the Holy Spirit, and that being the case, we really need not add to it, supplement it, spend time learning aspects of it, because faith is, well, just faith. Of course, when the church office in Iowa received that note, my first question was, well, if Christian faith is about what we believe, what is it that we actually believe? And that's the dilemma, isn't it? That's the dilemma. Faith must be faith in something. It must believe faith in someone. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you believe in the Son of Man? Jesus asked. Jesus asked the man born blind. The man whom Jesus had healed by having him go to the pool of Siloam by himself and wash, so then had not seen Jesus. He had never seen Jesus when after his sight was restored. And then for his confession of the Christ whom he had not seen but who had healed his blindness, that man had been kicked out of his synagogue. Now Jesus found him later and he asked him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" Now the man answered this, "Who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Faith must have something, someone in whom to believe. You see, Christian faith, that created within us by the Holy Spirit, it's not simply a feeling of trust and an intuitive something about things divine. No, Christian faith is trust along with knowledge. That is knowledge of the thing, the one, the person, the God, who is to be trusted, to be believed. When the 10 tribes of Israel rebelled against Rehoboam, their new king, King Jeroboam, replaced his people's trust in the God of Jerusalem, the God of the temple of Jerusalem, and the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, with two golden calves. You see, all that Jeroboam had to do was build two new temples and tell his people, instead of trusting in the God of the temple of Jerusalem, trust in the gods of these new temples. Trust in the golden calves. But of course, the problem was the golden calves of Bethel and Dan were not gods. They weren't God. They were not the true, the living, the only God. The trust was there, but the knowledge of the true God was not. So we find ourselves at the very first commandment, don't we? You shall have no other gods. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. But who is God so that we might believe in him? Who is he? Well, God is he who revealed himself as man in Jesus. God is he who became a little baby in Bethlehem. God is he who taught and healed for 3 years throughout Galilee. God is he who even suffered and died on a cross outside of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. God is he who rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven. Who is God that we might believe in him? Who is God that we might believe in him? Not those two golden calves in Bethel and Dan. Not Allah, not Buddha, not the thousands of gods of Hinduism. God is the true, the living, the only God who revealed himself to us and continues to reveal himself to us in Jesus, our Lord and Savior. It's knowledge of Jesus that the apostles like Paul imparted to those throughout the Roman world to whom they preached. So the thanksgiving in our text. The thanksgiving expressed by Paul for the fact that the Christians of Corinth had been enriched in Christ Jesus in all speech and knowledge. That is, they had turned the Corinthians from their worship of the false gods of Rome. They had turned from placing their religious trust in the idols of the temples of Corinth to Jesus and continued then to grow in the knowledge of him and how to talk about him and what to say about him. Yes, the forgiveness of sins was theirs, as it is ours, through faith, by the grace of God, but by faith in specifically Jesus. For it's in Jesus that we've been granted that forgiveness because of the sacrifice he made as God and man on the cross for us. Yes, we have knowledge of this, plain and simple. We were taught this and continued to learn more about it by means of the Holy Word of God. And the more we know about Jesus, the more we're enriched in our lives, in our day-to-day living, in our faith, in our hope, and in our love. For let's face it, knowledge, it's power, isn't it? I mean, that's what even the world knows and confesses. Knowledge, it's power. And if this is so, why would we even entertain the thought that pursuing more knowledge about Jesus is not worth our time, not worth our effort? Are we too thinking like that confirmation mom long ago? That somehow faith can exist without knowledge? That there's no benefit to actually knowing who the Son of Man actually is? You know, I continue to be amazed. I continue to be amazed at just how valuable tiny little pieces of knowledge actually are. We all know this is true. We've all experienced it. Remember the time you learned how to open the bathroom door from the outside when your two-year-old was stuck on the inside and finally had to figure out how to do that? Never had to do it before because you were always on the inside when you locked it? How about when you got that new car and it had the lever to open up the gas tank thing on the outside and you didn't worry about it until you went to the gas station? And you couldn't figure out how to get the thing open to put the gas in? I think back when I was 17, when I thought I was going to be in big trouble at home because for some reason, the 77 Ford Granada I was driving, my parents' car, it wouldn't go forward. It would only go in reverse. What had I done? I couldn't figure it out. I was sitting in the high school parking lot about 2 o'clock in the morning after returning from a basketball game in Sterling, Colorado, which was way out in the plains, and we got hit by a snowstorm. It took forever to get back. Got in the car, and the car would not go forward. It would only go in reverse. What had I done? What was I going to do? Was I going to drive all the way home backwards, park it in the driveway backwards? And what would my dad say? I was just about to panic when my friend Lauren, he tapped on the window, and I rolled it down. Remember when we used to do that, roll down windows? And he said this to me, "Reverse, not forward." And I nodded, and he said, "Release the parking brake." And then he added, "I did the same thing last week." Just a little bit of knowledge, that's all it took. So what is the meaning for us this morning? Well, it's simple, really. Let's pursue a greater knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Let's learn more and more about him. Let us too, like the Corinthians, be enriched in all our ways of talking and our ways of thinking by our growing understanding of the Son of Man, Jesus, grasping him ever firmer and firmer in faith, contemplating him and what he's done for us, thinking about what he continues to do for us, and in such a way we'll not be lacking. We won't be lacking any spiritual gift as we await for our Lord and Savior's return on the last day. Now, just how powerful is such knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Well, there's only one way to find out. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.